we bounce off each other too. Like even just in conversation, just the two of us, we're able to bounce off each other.
I was gonna say, even when you're not recording, like just at town square or at lunch or something, we do the same thing. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's just who we are. We can just bounce off each other.
That's why I record us when we're walking around. You know, it's like the Kardashians. Only we don't have camera people.
No, we are the camera people.
We're like the non-profit Kardashians. We're our own camera people. Sorry, we don't have that budget yet.
You know Kylie is my age?
Really?
Yeah.
Why do I, like, when I think of Kylie, I still think of her as, like, when I used to watch the show, when they were living at home and they were little. That's how I still picture her. I don't picture her your age. That's so weird.
Yeah, I was her age when it started. I've been her age, obviously. But
right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. I don't know. Some people I understand their age. Some people I'm still stuck on. No, they're supposed to be this age.
You know what? So people are gonna hate me for saying this, but I started getting that feeling. And it started kind of when I started getting nephews and nieces, because as they start to get older, I'm like, no, like you were a baby.
You say 2007, that feels like yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like it just feels like that was yesterday. But then when you look at how many years ago that was, it's like, wait, really? Was 2007 that long ago? How?
Like in my head, 1980 is 20 years ago in my head. I know, yeah. Like, I started to think about it. I'm like, okay, obviously, it's 40 years ago, but...
Right. Yep, that's kind of the same thing. Like, when you say the year, it doesn't feel as long ago as it actually was.
No.
It's really bizarre. Yeah.
And it makes me feel old. I'm not. By no means am I old. Well, not by no means. I'm actually 90 in my head, but...
but I'm 90 in my body. my head is like 13. So I mean, being 90 in your head isn't a bad thing.
how about 90 both, and like we both have 90 in our head. I would take that.
Sure. I'll catch up someday.
Like you have. You know what though? I have both. Sometimes I'm 12, sometimes I'm 90. Just depends.
True. I have caught you on camera laughing like a 12-year-old. That's why I just keep recording. And the longer I record you, the longer and more you laugh. And I'm like, all right, well, this is easy.
To be fair, it's not at nothing. It's at you. Because you'll do something.
I don't have to do much.
You'll do something, and it may not be a lot to you, but it'll be hilarious to me, and I'm like, oh!
I was gonna say, you're easily triggered when it comes to laughing.
I am, and when it comes to laughing attacks, ugh.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing, because I know I can be funny sometimes, but I know I'm not that funny, so I'm like, it makes my ego feel good, but then I realize that, no, she just gets started and she can't stop. Now she's laughing at her own self-laughing. She's not even laughing at me.
That's it!
It was partially funny, Kira, but you took it to an extreme, and at first I'm like, oh, wow, she thinks I'm funny. Then I'm like, no, she's laughing at herself laughing.
Because I can't.
Which makes me laugh.
Because I can't stop!
Like right now, see? It's like when you're being tickled, but you're not being tickled. That makes you so much more fun to mess with, because it doesn't take much.
It sucks sometimes. It sucks sometimes, and no, at work it'll suck some. Not with you, but like at work it'll suck sometimes because they know they can get me to laugh at pretty much anything, and they can mess with me, and it's very easy and fun to do.
Yeah.
So I've heard.
It doesn't take much to learn how easy it is to mess with you. Like one time, and people are like, "Oh, okay. Yeah, isn't that great?" It's like,
fantastic.
Yeah, you're a good teacher. You teach us really quickly. Like, oh, okay. Wait till next time.
I love that for me.
That's too funny.
All right, Aunt Tanya.
Laughing is good. So
laughing is the best medicine in most cases.
Yes, it is. Yes.
For sure. All right, Aunt Tanya. So, for this episode, this is the episode where, like, we're back. Like, I have not had an audio episode in a long time. We had a 9/11 special episode, but besides that, I haven't had an episode air since July, which is way too long. And it messes with my head that it's been that long. But, but it's back. Yeah, exactly. And audio episodes are going to be released every Friday. So I'm excited for that. Still doing Twitch and still doing and going to do this again. You need to get Twitch. The fact that you don't have Twitch yet astonishes me.
It is. It's awful. My life's been too crazy. And then I keep saying I'm going to put it on my tablet because I don't have a lot of space on my phone. But now my tablet's acting up. And I'm like, oh, great.
So, oh, no.
Yeah, I'll figure out something.
Get a new tablet.
I know, that's the best thing to do because they're so cheap now. And this one is from 2012.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think 2012.
Oh my gosh. It's almost 2022. You need a new one.
That is a long time, isn't it?
Uh-huh. That's almost 10 years.
I told you, it feels like that was yesterday. But I'm like, yeah, that is a long time for any electronic device. That's a long time.
Oh, yeah. I think tablets outlast, like, laptops and PCs and stuff, but true. As far as, like, any, like, 10 years is way too long for any, a phone, a tablet.
I got it for free when I called. I was late on my bill with Sprint, and I called to make a payment arrangement, and they're like, hey, you're one of our top customers, and I'm like, I am?
I just was late for my payment. I'm one of your top customers?
I know. I'm like, if I'm your top customer, that's sad. And they're like, you want to like, for not paying my bill? Okay. So I got a free tablet for not paying my bill. And I'm like, wow, okay, that was easy. So I got my money's worth for sure.
I mean, yeah. Or you're not your money's worth because you didn't pay your bill on time.
Right. I know. And I ended up paying it, but it was late and I got a free tablet. So I'm like, I'm going to do that more often. What will they give me this time?
Do you still have Sprint?
No, I didn't stay with them long. Got my tablet, went to T-Mobile.
Hey, me too.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Right, T-Mobile Tuesday, which I forgot again.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so T-Mobile Tuesday has this thing with California Pizza Kitchen where you can get free, what is it, a free pizza? Free, like, 11-inch pizza? No.
Free personal pizza.
Yeah, when you on T-Mobile Tuesdays, but you have to have an account with California Pizza Kitchen. And I did this at the store, like at the restaurant, and I didn't know you had to do that. And I didn't read the fine print because they made it very clear on T-Mobile, and I just don't pay attention to directions.
Well, it seemed very simple. Just go in and get your pizza.
That's what I thought. I was like, ooh, yeah. Free stuff.
But I'm joining. I'm going to get my things with California Pizza so I can get a free. Because I think when you join, you also get a free pizza, right?
You get a free appetizer, I think. Or something.
You get something free. So I'm gonna join this California Pizza app. And I'm going to look for Tuesdays on T-Mobile. Which they probably won't have that offer anymore. But they'll have other ones.
Yeah, they do have other ones. Also, just side note, this isn't sponsored by any of these companies that we're mentioning, but, you know, hit a girl up, because, what was last week's? Exactly, like, you know, I will happily. Next week is at Wendy's and Kung Fu Tea.
Kung Fu Tea,
it's,
I love Wendy's.
Kung Fu Tea is so good. Wait, what was it last week? Last week it was Dunkin', Redbox. Dunkin's every week. Oh no, well, every week of October. So, but there was a dollar Dunkin' gift card. Bogove, Auntie Anne's, Checkers. I missed my T-Mobile blanket. You could, so you, sometimes you get free, like one of the free things is a T-Mobile merchandise item. And a couple weeks ago, it was a T-Mobile blanket, and I missed out on it.
Wow. So, okay, I'm on my son's account. Do we both get to use T-Mobile Tuesday or just him?
Yeah. No, both of you. Like, it's my account, but my mom and I can both do it.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, I got to start paying more attention. Every week I forget. Every week since you told me.
It'll give you notifications if you have the app.
I have the app, but I don't stay logged in. Maybe that's why.
Oh, you have to stay. Well, yeah, you have to stay logged in.
Oh, shoot. Well, I'm going to go log in and stay logged in. I need a reminder.
Yeah, and then turn on your notifications, because you will get, I get like 3 in the morning. Before I'm even at work at 9, I'll have 3 notifications be like, it's T-Mobile Tuesday, get your T-Mobile blanket, and then forget about it anyway.
Yeah, right?
What is this saying about me? Is this, people think I'm crazy, I'm losing my mind, or if people find out, and it's also, like you said, you didn't know what anxiety felt like, because this is just something that, like, nobody explains to people, this is what anxiety feels like. And so when you get certain symptoms, you don't know what it is, and you just either suppress it and ignore it, or you just think, this is just me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to get people into see a therapist or a counselor, because they're like, oh no, I'm fine, you know, especially if it's something they've had their entire life. They don't know any different. Like, to them, that is normal. And
right.
So to try to convince somebody that, no, we're seeing things from the outside, you know, we're seeing things that aren't right, and we think you need to talk to someone, but they get defensive, and of course, in their head, they're like, no, you guys are the ones with the problem. Like, I feel fine, because this is their normal for their whole life.
Yeah.
And the fact that you got diagnosed at the age you're at is a blessing, because, again, a lot of people are into their 40s, 50s, and older that have just had this their entire life and don't have a name for it. They just think it's them. This is who I am. I don't need therapy.
Well, and there's also, like, different kinds of different mentalities. Like, with anxiety,
right.
There's situational anxiety. Both are serious and both matter. But one tends to be all the time, whereas the other is, like, its
right.
name, situational.
Exactly. Same with depression. There's clinical depression, and there's situational depression. And I went through that with my second divorce, and I was having a lot of depression, which I had never had before. I always had a very positive attitude. Whatever was thrown at me, I could deal with it. And one of my doctors, just a family doctor, wanted to put me on some medication for depression, and I was just going to take it, because, you know, when you're feeling depressed and somebody, a doctor, offers you something to make you feel better, you're like, okay. And I had a friend who happened to be a really good therapist, and I was talking to her about it, and she said, no, Tanya, I've known you for years. You do not have clinical depression. You have situational depression, because you just got a lot of bad stuff going on in your life right now. And
yeah.
Go to counseling. That's why therapy is such a big tool. You know, some people think, okay, I've got clinical depression or anxiety, just give me a pill and I'll be good. But you really do need to do that therapy to learn about yourself, to learn what's causing it, whether it's clinical or if it's situational. You've got to learn about your triggers. You know, you got to learn the triggers. My last two ex-husbands were bipolar, and they had depression and anxiety, all clinical, none of it situational. And, you know, one had it his entire life, and one it was brought on with middle age. And both very different men with a lot of similar mental aspects going on. And I learned a lot through therapy of my own to help me through both of those stages with them at different times, obviously.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to learn, you know, it was interesting to watch one of them in particular learn about his triggers. And because he said, you know, I've felt like this as far as the anxiety and stuff, I have felt like this my entire life. So I don't know when I'm about to have an anxiety attack, and I don't know until I'm having it. So the therapist actually worked with him and got him to where he could feel, he started learning about it, and he could feel when it was coming on, and he would just take one of his anxiety pills, and it would instantly kind of like calm him where he could deal with it. So although it was clinical anxiety and he needed the medication, he also needed that therapy
to teach him when to take the medicine, basically, because it, by the time he felt it, he was in a full-blown panic attack or anxiety attack, it was, like, too late. He was not, you know, he was too out of control to take medicine. So
yeah,
they both go hand in hand. You know, even if you need medicine, the therapy is very, very helpful to get to the bottom of it, to learn the triggers, to learn how to calm yourself with or without medication.
Exactly. Well, and everybody's different. You know, therapy works for a lot of people, and for some people it doesn't. And medication doesn't work for everybody, and some people it does. It's just everybody's different, and everybody goes through and controls everything differently.
Well, and then also, like, most of the time, if you have actual clinical anxiety, depression, and especially bipolar, medication is very helpful. It usually will help, but it takes sometimes with both of them, it took a long time of different combinations to get the right fix, because like you said, some medications work better with this person but not this person, and sometimes you need two or three to, you know, it's just, there's a whole process and it's not an overnight thing. But that's why the psychiatrist and the psychologist work together. One prescribes a medicine, one talks to the patient, and they just, you know, it takes a lot of work. And I think honestly that's where a lot of people lose the interest or they drop out of it, because life gets busy and you've got a life, and to put that much commitment into your mental health, we tend to ignore our mental health more than our physical health. Because face it, if we're having physical problems, we're going to get to a doctor, because it's scary. Like, what do we have?
Yeah.
Do we have cancer? Do we have this? You know, or if you're in pain physically, you're going to go to a doctor. You're going to take the medicine. You're going to do the physical therapy. You're going to do what it takes to get your physical body back in shape. But unfortunately, we tend to neglect our own mental state, because it is another commitment. And we think, oh, we can handle it. You know, we'll work it out. We'll
stay. And another thing with that is that you don't want to, as far as like I go, you don't want to be a burden. Like, you don't want to feel like you're putting your burden onto other people.
Yeah. And that's why therapy is also another good outlet, because there's no connection to this person outside of it's your therapist, it's your doctor. It's not like talking to a friend or a family member where you do feel like you're burdening them, or they may not even understand. I didn't understand clinical depression, and basically I didn't understand clinical depression until I was married to two men that had it, and then watched some of my children suffer through some depression issues when they were younger. I didn't understand it. I was the type of person that you hear a lot where it's like, well, just cheer up. Smile.
Yeah.
Think of something happy, you know, like it's hard for people, and it's just from being naive. It's not from being like cold hearted. It's just, you don't understand it until you've either experienced it or been close, lived with somebody that has experienced it. And you know, one of my ex-husbands used to tell me, like, I don't know why I'm depressed. I have a beautiful wife. I have a great job. I've got a great daughter. Like, I have everything that should be making me happy, and I'm still depressed. That is a true form of clinical depression versus situational. And, but, you know, I mean, he got, you know, he was getting the help. Hopefully he still is. But it is very hard to be the person that lives with somebody, not just cares about them, but like lives with them, with bipolar depression, because to watch somebody you love and care about 24/7 suffer like that, like I can escape, I can get away from that person, but they can't get out of their own head, they can't get away from themselves. And it's a very sad thing to watch, because a lot of times they push you away. They don't want your help, because there's not a lot somebody can do for you. And sometimes they just isolate. And so, you know, I had one of my ex-husband's therapists tell him, like, if you've got somebody who's standing by you and you have bipolar and all this, you should be very thankful, because it is very hard for somebody with bipolar, this is what he told him, to have a committed long relationship, because their tendency is to push people away. So it's hard all the way around. It's hard for the person, it's hard for the spouse or parent or whoever's living with them, because you're just at a loss. Anything else you can help, you know, if you see that they've had surgery, you can physically help them, You can wait on them. You can make them feel better. You can give them their medicine, you know. But when it comes to mental health, it's the hardest thing to help people with as a loved one.
Yeah, for sure. And it's one thing for it to go on with yourself, too. It's one thing to be like, okay, well, I'm going to go to therapy. I'm going to get this taken care of. I'm going to go through this. Right. And it's another to see somebody else go through it and not be able to control it for them, especially if they're a loved one that's close to you.
There was more talk about it. Like, I'm glad you're talking about it. And like I said earlier, it seems like there's a lot of people that use platforms, and I'm probably guilty of it. You know, like, we all say, like, we want to talk about it. We want to put it out there. And then it fizzles. Like, you know, we move on to something else, a different topic, whatever. It's one of the things that has such a uncomfortable, I'm not even gonna say bad, but like an uncomfortable stigma with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's uncomfortable for a lot of people to talk about, and it's uncomfortable for people to maybe listen, to hear about it. It's just not a comfortable topic.
Well, and I think now, today, it's getting a little bit less uncomfortable, and it's still uncomfortable, but as far as making progress, there's some progress there, but there's still a whole long ways to go. But there are different organizations that are doing fantastic with helping and making sure that everybody knows that they're not alone and that they're not the only ones that, you know, feel the way that they feel. And that can help greatly, right, too, in knowing that, okay, I'm not crazy,
right?
I'm just human.
Exactly. And like support groups, and I think the internet can work in favor, you know, because sometimes internet doesn't work in favor of things, but I think for these kind of things it works in favor, because you can go online and join a support group. You don't even have to leave your house. There's always options out there now that there weren't. I mean, even 10, 15, 20 years ago, when I was the person who cared about people with depression and bipolar and other anxiety, there weren't support. I mean, there was no internet with one of my marriages. I didn't have internet. We didn't have internet yet. So there weren't these ways to reach out. Even as the person who's caring about them, they need the support group. They need people like a support group of other women that are wives or men that are husbands that say, my spouse is going through this and I don't know how to help them. Because if you push too much, it makes them worse. If you back off too much, then you feel like you're abandoning them. So that would have been very helpful for me to have some sort of support. I mean, I saw my own therapist who had a lot of knowledge personally and professionally on these topics. And she was helpful, but not, I don't think, in a way of that of another group of people that were going through it at the time that I was. That would have been very helpful. I think that men, because they were raised that they had to be the strong ones all the time and they couldn't show their emotions, by not showing your emotion, you've been raised and taught to not even think about it, you don't even focus on your own emotion. You know, it's just not what men do. And I think it's easier, I think you see more women getting themselves into therapy and getting some things diagnosed and taken care of a lot sooner and easier than you do see men. And that's very unfortunate. And I have seen, even on TikTok, I've seen a lot of men and women speaking up on behalf of men with mental illness, that it's okay. You can show your emotion. You can talk about it. You can show emotion without being weak. You know, you're human. And so I think it is good that it is getting out there a little bit more to kill that stigma that's followed along with it.
Exactly. And just for a side note too, this podcast is not by any means labeled as a serious and deep conversational podcast by any means. I make mouth noises, and it's called Finding My Perfect Awkward for a reason. But there's a time and place for everything, and I do think that not only with us going through what we've been through this year, but with everybody for the last 2 years going through we found a whole new side of ourselves we didn't know was there, because we were stuck with ourselves and just ourselves in our houses, literally. So I think it's good to talk about it and bring it to light and use a platform that maybe isn't even, you know, that serious all the time, or to really right. just use the platform and talk about it.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people that maybe were already struggling with mental illness or maybe kind of had an underlining of it but were just holding themselves together, I think the last year and a half has kind of brought those feelings, those issues out to the surface more. Unfortunately, you know, with the isolation at the beginning of all this and everything, and the stress with no work. And so I think that talking about it even more now is even, I think, more important than ever.
Exactly. And it's after, we're still in it, but it's after the isolation.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Moved past that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So we're not stuck with ourselves and just ourselves all the time, and we're able to start moving forward from all of the things that we learned about ourselves.
I mean, I'm not that worried about being stuck by myself or with myself, Kira, because I am hilarious.
Do you talk to yourself? Do you have a conversation with yourself?
Oh my gosh.
Me too.
Oh, good. You get it from me. I have to tell you this. I told my daughter, and she was like, oh, mother. I went into the bathroom the other day, and I talked to myself out loud, because this is what happens when you get old. You just talk to yourself, and it's nothing to do with isolation. You just talk to yourself. So I said, what did I come in here to do? What was I coming in here to get? And then I looked at my toothbrush, and I said, oh, that's right. I was coming to get a spoon. And I picked up my toothbrush.
Oh, no.
Then I actually argued with myself, and I was so disgusted with myself. And I was like, why did you say spoon? Like, this is a freaking toothbrush. You didn't come in here for a spoon. Why did you say spoon? But I never got an answer. Why is it spoon? But these are the things that happen in my world.
Do you ever go to throw away something and you have things in both hands and you throw away the wrong hand?
No.
Oh, you don't do that? Oh, okay.
I don't think I've done that.
I've like, my brain has mistaken my hands before, like mixed up my hands before.
Okay.
And I'll go to throw away something and have, like, my phone or keys or, you know, piece of paper or whatever in my other hand and accidentally throw that hand in the trash instead. And I'm like, well, why'd you do that?
You're
like, Kira, why did you do that? Yeah.
Okay. So you call yourself by name. I don't. Sometimes I'll be
sometimes.
Like, oh, bitch.
No. You can. Oh my God.
Okay.
No, you can. No, the... Yo, bitch, why'd you do that?
Bitch, why'd you throw that away, buddy? Why'd you say spoon? Freaking toothbrush.
See, but I don't know which is worse, throwing away the wrong hand and just being able to pick it up, or being like, you know what? I thought this was, my brain thought that this was a spoon.
But see, that's the thing. My brain knew it was a toothbrush. Well, I mean, I thought it did. It was a toothbrush. Why it said spoon? I think I've got something else wrong with me mentally. Like, seriously. Physically.
Oh, no.
There's something. I need a doctor. Because.
Oh, no.
Weird things. Like, as soon as I say it, I'll be like, don't say that. Don't say that. And then I say it. Like, what is that? There's got to be a term for that.
That's called no filter.
Well, I've always had that. But I mean, like. Why? That's not what it is. It's not a spoon. Why? And I just know it. I know it as I'm thinking and I'm about to say it. I'm like, don't say that, idiot. And then I say it. And I'm like, why'd you say that? Oh, God. After this episode, people are being knocking on my door for sure to come take me away.
I can't.
Mine's age. I'm just old.
Yours is not age. You're not even that old, okay?
Kira,
you're not even that old.
I'm past my halfway mark. Well, depending on if you think 100 is a lifespan now.
Well, it is. I think it's,
is it,
well,
still a lifespan?
Well, it used to be. It's in my head. It is. I don't know about now.
Well, either way, then I'm still over the halfway mark. That's old.
I don't think you're old. You don't act old. No, in person, I have told you that you're old, but that's only when I'm...
It's only when you don't want ratings. You don't care about ratings in person.
That's only when... No, that's only when you're looking at airplanes and trying to record them because you think you're so fascinated. You're either 5 or you're 80.
Oh, my God, Kira. It is... I haven't gotten to experience what I like to experience at Town Square in years. Why do they not fly the same direction anymore?
Because they have to go to different places and they change their flight paths.
No, I used to sit in front of California Pizza. Now you watch. Anybody listening, go to Town Square, sit on that bench right in front of California Pizza, and they're going to come flying right over you so low that you feel like you could touch the belly of the plane. Why has that not happened in years?
I don't know. Okay, you know what? I will personally write a strongly worded email to McCarran Airport and ask them to go back to the previous flight paths, okay?
Yes, tell them your aunt, who is basically a nobody, not even basically, I am a nobody, really has nothing going on in life, and she likes to sit on the bench in front of a California Pizza and watch the planes fly really low over, and if they could just move that back to how it used to be, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
I love how you... Go ahead.
I have a friend. I have a friend that used to work at the airport, and I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him what's up. Maybe he did it.
They don't care about what we think. Or you think. I really don't care.
I wonder if California Pizza complained because they were flying so low. I don't know. There's a reason. There's got to be a reason.
I was going to say that I understand. I realize. I love
the joy that it brings me.
I do, but like, again, you're either 5 or you're 80.
I know.
But I also find it.
Both.
I find
it. I'm 80 in body, and I'm 5 in mentality.
And it averages out to your actual age.
Wow, I like that.
But I think that it's so funny that you would sit on the bench outside of California Pizza Kitchen and never think to walk in to eat.
If the California Pizza hears this, they're never going to give me my free pizza, Kira. I do go in. I've gone in there before a few times. But it's not my fault. They put the bench right there that has the best view of the planes. That, I mean, how unlucky for California Pizza. That's where people are going to sit to watch airplanes. I mean, you can see them.
That's kind of smart in their eyes and at their perthor, because people would then come in and be like, huh, I'm hungry now after watching these planes. Right. Plane watching. Right. Oh, I am so hungry and parched.
Yeah, I know. I need something to drink and eat after all this.
It's like bird watching.
I know, looking up. That's true. Yeah, and then you're like, oh, California Pizza. But see, look at all the publicity they get now.
Have you ever from us? Have you ever gone bird watching or cloud watching?
I don't want to watch birds, Kira. I want to watch airplanes, the big birds. No, I have not ever gone bird watching. I think
you're like, I don't care about what you're saying, Kira. I just want to talk about the planes, okay? Yeah, I am so upset.
Me. Let's talk about me and what I like. I like airplanes, Kira. No, I like birds. I've never felt the need to watch them do anything in particular. I mean, in my yard.
I've never, like, gone particularly bird watching.
Have you been to, like, one of those bird sanctuaries?
No, but I think that would be interesting. I've owned birds before.
I kind of went to one. I think that's what it was. When I was visiting my oldest son in Texas, and we went to some trail walking somewhere. And we came across this little bird area. I guess I did go bird watching, Kira. But the problem was there was no birds. There was one bird. Yeah. We sat there. You go into this little screened house, and then you sit there, and there's this little area where the birds are. They must have stuff out there to attract them, obviously. And we sat there. And we sat there, and there was, like, one bird, and he didn't do anything. And we're like, okay. So I don't know if there's seasons that you do this, and we weren't in the right season.
Well, don't birds fly south for the winter?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember when I was there. What month that was? I think it was, like, September.
Oh, I don't know.
So I don't know. But they weren't there. And it was like, well, if this is bird watching, it's more boring than I thought because there's no birds.
So I have gone cloud watching.
Cloud watching. Oh, if you really stare hard enough at a cloud, you can actually see it move.
Yes. No kidding.
I never knew that.
You didn't know?
I didn't. I never cared, honestly, for a long time. And then years ago, I just was looking at one, and you could, like, see it more than the average cloud, like, moving. And I was like, I'll be dang. Yeah. You can see it moving?
Yeah, because the wind pushes it.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting.
I mean, watching the clouds. Honestly, I sound so lame. But if you watch them, you can also make shapes out of them.
Really?
You've never, like, seen a bunny or seen a smiley face or anything in the clouds?
Yeah, I've seen some that, and I've seen pictures that people post, and they're like, do you see it? And I can clearly see it. I don't know if I've really witnessed any on my own. See, I'm too hyper. I've got ADD, too. But I can't just
don't self-diagnose.
Yeah, I'm going to self-diagnose. I think I do. I can't sit and just stare. Like, I don't know. I lose interest really fast. If it's not doing something like a plane flying over, that's going to keep my interest.
See, that loses my interest. I'm like, yeah, it's a plane. That's cool. I've seen so many of those. Nice.
I have too, but I'm usually on them. But it's moving and it's down low. You look up and it's just the beauty. I'm fascinated with how big and heavy these objects are that can fly and stay up in the air. And they just are, oh, they're so beautiful. And I like the big ones when they fly over you. See, you got me started. Because they're strong. Like, ooh, yeah, I like the noise. And
size matters. That's what she said.
Size matters.
No.
Please just say that.
But, oh, you need to watch Free For All.
I've been peeking at the clips that Sean puts up on Instagram.
It's
oh,
fun.
My goodness.
It's a fun time. No, but I don't know, planes, like, I used to want to be a pilot. I used to want to be an astronaut.
That. Yeah.
I like planes. I like the mechanics of them. I love flying them. I love just the whole thing. I could not care less in watching them fly over Town Square.
I think it's just because it's an angle I don't get very often. You don't get to
the belly
up. Yeah, who gets to look at the belly of a plane on a regular basis, you know? Like, when it's way in the air, it's not a big deal. Don't get me wrong. It's not, I've seen planes fly over all the time in the sky. But when it's down that low, I'm just like, oh, God. And it's going kind of slow, and it's just something. I don't know. It's my thing, Kira. It's my thing, okay?
I enjoy watching you watch them. That is.
Oh, that's too funny. Oh, so does my daughter, and I almost ran into this little kid one day while I was recording it. She's like, Mom, you almost ran over that kid.
You almost got hit by a car. Well, no, you didn't, because I was watching, kind of.
You would have pushed me out of the way, or you would have just stood back and recorded it and be like, all right, go ahead, get her.
Sure. I mean,
that'll,
you know,
she'll never do it again.
I would never do that, but
I know.
I would definitely record up until the last second to where I was like, okay, now I need to push her out of the way. It's time.
And then pause it and then go push me out of the way and then resume.
She'd almost or just got hit by a car.
Prop it up and get the whole thing on it.
Oh, no.
Then we can see you running in. Oh, so.
The world.
You want to hear
or
something
the world?
Fun and
the
exciting.
Worst. Yes,
you
want to
hear
please.
Something exciting. Your cousin, my oldest son, just got a new car. So excited, and I'm announcing it, but who's gonna post on Facebook before this comes out? He got rid of his Camaro.
What did he get?
He got a Lexus hybrid, and I forgot, it's like an ES or E3, or I don't know. It's beautiful. It's black, it's four-door, it's shiny, and it's sleek. And he has a girlfriend, it's where she works, she sells these Lexuses at this dealership. So they got him a really good deal, and of course he's military, so they got him a good deal there. And he sent me a text saying, it's going to be sad to see my Camaro go, and he put the crying face. And I was
his
like,
Camaro is like his baby.
Yes,
that thing.
Her name was Carly.
She had a name?
Yes, Carly the Camaro.
See, if I would have known then, I would have been even more emotionally attached to that thing. I named mine, and now I named my dad's car, too.
Oh, no. What are the names?
Mine is Betty Blue. Actually, I can't take credit for naming mine. My friend Sam named my car when I first got it. Aww. But her name is Betty Blue. And then Dad's car is named... Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
you
no.
You named it and you don't remember.
Wait.
The one he has now?
Yeah, the black one he has now?
Yeah.
I named it.
It's got to be a boy name.
It's a girl.
Oh, girl, that's true. Guys don't want a car named after a guy.
It's a girl name. Wait. Is that what I named it? Yeah, that's what I named it. Okay, it's a Bella Palisade.
Bella Palisade.
Bella.
It's a Palisade car, so
because it's a Palisade, yeah. But
I
Bella.
Like that. Yeah. Because nice
we were going through. We went to coffee and we were like going through car names because I told him that I had named my car, and he's like, "Okay, well, I want to name mine. What do I name mine?" And we went through all of these names, and I could not find one.
Wait, did you Google car names?
Well, I Googled car names for him to look at and be like, if any of these, do you like any of these? Mm-hmm. And neither one of us liked any of them. We were even looking through Star Trek names because it's like, well, if you can name your daughter that, you know, you can name your car that, right? So I was like, okay, do you like any of these? None of them were good for that car.
He didn't name it the Enterprise?
No. Although I think his last car could have been named that because it was gray. But this one's black and like fancy and really shiny.
Yeah.
So I thought of then later, this wasn't even the day that day. It was like maybe a week later. I was like, how about Bella?
Oh, you came up with it later. Well, hey, whatever works. I think that fits. That's a good name.
I like it.
I got a phone call while we were doing this. Hopefully you don't hear the ringing.
I don't. You're all good.
I think it's the results of my COVID test. It's some level. I'm like, well, that's fair. Yeah.
Oh, drum yeah. Roll. No.
Yeah, I don't know. They were supposed to email me. So now I'm like, uh-oh.
I hope it's not COVID.
I know, right? Well, they didn't go up far up the nose. Remember, I told you, I asked her, I was like, that's it? She goes, yep. You just barely skim the rim of the nose. Like, here, let me show you how to do it.
Yeah, no. Can you just shove it up in there? I want to see brain.
Yeah. Like, you got, I mean, I know how it feels to have it, and that didn't feel like nothing. Like, I don't know. She only did one nostril. Sometimes they do one, sometimes they do both. Now, I know in the ER, when I had the rapid test, they don't go up as far with the rapid test, but this wasn't the rapid. This was the actual real one where you go touch the brain. Didn't even come close to my brain. I'm like, okay. So hopefully she got it. She did it right, or else that was a waste of time.
Hopefully.
But my nose has been violated a lot over the last year and a half. I could hopefully never have to do another COVID test anyway. I think hopefully someday they'll come out with a blood test.
A blood test? Oh, I don't think I could do that. I'm going to stick with the nose one.
I'd rather do the blood test. But see, even for the, like, I had the, I got tested for the flu that day too, which was negative, but they also do a nose swab. I've never in my life been tested for the flu. Usually if I have the symptoms, we just call it the flu. And it wasn't that bad either, but they do the nose swab too for the flu. I'm like, really?
I had no idea that there was even a test for the flu, but I guess that makes sense.
I didn't know that either till a couple, 2 years ago, I think, when my grandkids had to get nose swab for the flu. And I was like, oh, it was before COVID even came out. So I didn't even know you did any kind of nose swabbing for anything.
Okay, though.
Interesting. Yeah. And I'm thinking, well, I hope not, since I had the flu shot. And it wasn't the flu. So I don't know. We'll see. I think it's just old age.
Oh, God. You're not that old.
I just wanted to see if you're listening.
I am listening. It's my what do you mean? It's my podcast. Why would I not be listening?
Because I'm your aunt and I ramble and you're used to it and you're just like, la, 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 la.
You listen to my rambles sometimes. Other times you're like, oh, my God, look at this puppy I found when I was scrolling and you were talking to me about, you know.
No, I'm like, Kira, look at the plane. Can we get back to your rambling in a minute? Look at the plane. The belly.
Oh geez,
we do have to set up another town square date as soon as my car gets finally fixed.
Yes, as soon as you're ready to go.
Yeah,
I am ready to go too. Okay. All right, Aunt Tanya. That, I think, okay. is it.
Covered it.
Yeah, I think that about okay. covered it, this one. Yay, and I'm...
We both stop.
That's so bad.
I was gonna say, I've missed doing the podcast with you, but it really just feels like when we talk, like this is our normal conversation.
It really does. And I think that we both have the art of interrupting and then stopping because we realize we interrupt, but then we also can bounce off each other. So I have to also tell you that you are very beloved on this podcast. So I am.
That's sweet.
Not only for because I love you and because you're my aunt that I love having you back on, but also for the, you know, numbers sake, I am glad that you are back on.
Aww.
Yes. Okay, well, thank you, Aunt Tanya, for being on. I appreciate it so much. You are loved by our viewers. We're not on Twitch right now, by our listeners and by me, of course, but, you know,
well,
but mostly the
you.
Listeners.
Well, I'm very flattered, and I'll always be on here as long as you want me to ramble, I'll ramble, and I like talking about the topics that you always have, and of course, I love you.
Oh, I love you too. And for everybody, you can follow my aunt on TikTok if you want to. You can follow her on Instagram. And what is your social? It changes, I think. What is it right now?
On Instagram?
On TikTok and Instagram, are they not the same?
TikTok? Oh god, it's T-licious forever. You have to make me say that.
For everybody's knowledge, there will be some resources, mental health awareness resources, and others linked in the description. It is so important to talk about it and so important to be aware of not only everything within yourself, but within other people as well. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I'm so excited for audio episodes to be back. Twitch streams will still be around. Just keep an eye out for those. And as always, you can follow Finding My Perfect Awkward on Instagram at Finding My Perfect Awkward and on Twitter at Finding Awkward. And you can follow me, Kira, on all socials at Kira K Radio. And until next week, see ya.